is in a strange place. People moving out, people moving in. Why? Because of the color of the skin. Run, 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 but you sure can't hide. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother, rap on. Well, the only person talking about love, man, brother, is the preacher. And it seems nobody's interested in learning but the teacher. Segregation, determination, demonstration, integration, aggravation, humiliation, obligation to our nation. Oh, yeah, that's what the world is today. Hey, hey. The sale of pills are at an all-time high. Sad. Your folks walking around with their heads in the sky. Cities of flame in the summertime. No. Goes on. Now listen. Evolution, revolution, gun control, sound so. Shooting rockets to the moon, kids growing up too soon. Politicians say more taxes will solve everything. And the band played on.
This is the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show, your destination for social and political straight talk, on air, online, and on point. Get ready to join the conversation with your host, Ms. Tanya Free.
It's Wednesday, October the 14th. Welcome to the Tanya Free and Friends Talk Show. I am Tanya Free, joined by my wonderful friends, former Richmond Councilman Bill Johnson. How are you?
Hello, lady. Good to be back.
Thank you for being here today. And also with us is Reverend Woodson. How are you, friend?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for the invitation to be here again.
But thank you for coming back. And also with us is Brian Taylor. How are you?
I'm well, but I don't know if it's good to be back.
Yes, it is. Come on now. Let's start on a positive note, okay? Just wait until the end, okay? And sitting at our social media desk and roving correspondents is Antoinette Baylor. How are you, friend?
I'm fine and happy to be back.
Well, glad you're back. Glad you're feeling better. And working behind the scenes is Marcus Evans, Jeremiah, and Mr. Free. Thank you all for being here today. We want our wonderful listeners to join the conversation. We welcome your opinions and comments. Phone lines are open, 804-321-1010 or 844-321-1010, or you can text us at TanyaFree63975. And remember, to listen to the show on your phone, dial 712-832-2784. Thanks to our friends at AM/FM 247 Network. Okay, let's get started in with the Councilman Jonathan Miller, because this has just been bothering me to no end. I mean, when is it going to stop where we just get, you know, approached by the officers for no reason? I mean, it's been happening, but this one is totally ridiculous. Councilman Jonathan Miller, who was tased and arrested by Texas officer just outside of his home, according to reports, several of Councilman Miller's friends left his house. They were his fraternity brothers, and they were just outside getting ready to do, like, you know, the step or what have you for the homecoming. I guess, you know, they have a homecoming like State and Union this week. And officers approached them, you know, asking them about drug activity. When the councilman stepped outside his home to see what was happening, they asked him to step away, not to interfere, or they were going to arrest him. Well, when, you know, he didn't do that, which is, I think, normally we would want to know what's going on with our friends as well, they tased him and arrested him and took him to jail. Now, also, this same county is where Sandra Bland was jailed, okay? And one of the officers involved in this incident was involved in that incident. Tell me, Bill, what do you think is going on here, or how did you see it when you watched the video?
Once again, it's ridiculous. I think we continue to be naive to think that there's fairness or there's objectivity. We're dealing with these officers. Now, having been a council person, I've always felt that by virtue of office, I should have been deputized. That if I had to walk up on the scene or I had to break out my credentials, that I could do that. And
right.
it would give me a certain presence.
Right.
But when you go out there, nobody knows who you are. Now, hindsight and armchair quarterbacking, his fallback should have been to go back, do what the officers say, and call the chief of police. That's what he should have done. We still have the problem of trying to adjudicate justice at the curb rather than in the courts, okay? Because he's brought some attention,
right?
And he has brought tension to the community, but he has not necessarily changed the culture or added to it in any way.
And you're absolutely right. Even though that's the answer that you know make me PO because I, being in that, if I was in that position, I probably would have been arrested because. Being that they were his fraternity brothers, if they were sorority sisters, I would have felt the same way, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what's going on, why are you approaching them for absolutely no reason. And I believe, too, being that he was a council person, they should have known who he was. And like you said, his credentials should have carried some sort of weight in this particular incident. And obviously, like you said, it didn't. So, Brian?
I personally think the criminal system, the court system, and the law enforcement are all not all of them, but they're all intertwined. And then you have that bad element in there. I think that first and foremost, it sounds like this gentleman was they just went in there with a trumped up charge to start with, saying drugs. They don't know if that's just a natural thing for people to say, hey, it's just drugs here, and especially if you're African-American. I've seen it too many times. I think that that's something that we have to look at. I even heard Secretary Hillary Clinton talk about that last night, that, you know, we have a culture where most black men, you go into a situation, it's all trumped up. It's trumped up before they even got there. They were talking about drugs. There's no reason to tase the guy.
Right.
How do they know about drugs? Are they looking for, if people are out in the wide open, why would they approach them? They were just there to break up whatever was going on, I believe, and they just wanted an excuse to do what they did.
And also, too, now, what reason would you have to tase someone there that's on their knees? Reverend?
There's no reason to tase anyone on their knees, because usually when you're on your knees, it's a gesture of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, as my good friend here, Bill, stated, former councilman, someone should have known that the resident was on city council.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, in hindsight, he should have gone into the house.
He should have felt bad.
Yeah, he should have felt bad. But the reality is, when you're responding spontaneously out of emotion, knowing who you are in terms of a public servant, why are you here? And then the posture on his knees. So the police and the system, that is, it is not fair. And then and I am not one who loved to pull the race card, trust me. But when you witness these kind of dynamics, then you cannot help but saying that race is a crucial element in the culture, as you stated, and how can we correct this culture? We've been here since 1607, and it has not been corrected. So what can we do now to make a difference? Because we have generations that are following us, don't know anything in terms of what our ancestors have experienced.
Well, I think the consciousness is already being raised.
Mm-hmm.
We did not have the voice that we have now 10 years ago. We did not have the media exposure 10 years ago. Rodney King, you know what I'm saying? I mean, we were like, oh, look at what they did. Started to change. Started some folks that, well, look at what they're doing. And we're now beginning to look at the police culture. And this is not going to happen overnight.
Right,
This is going to take. Now we've got political candidates talking about Black Lives Matter, and they are raising the consciousness for a change in social justice. President Obama has helped to get 6,000 people released, and Governor Jerry Brown has rejected an order saying y'all have too many people in here on frivolous charges. So the consciousness is beginning to be raised. They're beginning to open up the doors and say, you got these people in here for life for something that's petty and misdemeanor. So I say we need to keep up the fight and help to change. This is not going to change. I was watching somebody, observing somebody, and it's always the same thing. One great big white officer down on somebody, choking the heck out of him, four or five others just standing around, allowing this to go on. Why is that necessary? You know what I'm saying? Why right. is it necessary?
Well, in this particular instance, was a sister involved, and it's the same sister that was involved with the Sandra Bland arrest. Now, why, if she, I mean, I think that, you know, the white officer tased him. The sister was standing there. And what is it that, if he was on his knees, that somebody couldn't have said, wait, hold on a second, he's not presenting a threat of any kind. And like I said, somebody should have recognized him, one, if he's a council person. And I'm quite sure he identified himself as so, and they ignore that. That's even more of a concern.
Well, again, there's got to be some objectivity. No one is above the law. Okay, I can't come up there and just assume because you say you're the council person, and what gives you the authority to be anything more than anybody else?
Well, that's a little different. If you come outside out of concern to check on one of your neighbors, and they tell you to stand back, but you have a concern as to, you know, your neighbor just left your home doing absolutely nothing, and the officers approach them, naturally, you're going to say, hey, what's going on? And chances are you probably won't go back into your home. You're probably staying there to make sure everything is done according to the book. And when you do not stand back and you're trying to make sure justice is being served and you get arrested, I mean, you don't see a problem with that?
When the police come on the scene, the paradigm changes. We've got to understand, you've got to get out of those people's way. They are hardwired to take control when they come onto the scene.
Okay, that's not true. That's just for some folks, because had he been white, do you think that would have happened?
Probably not. But I can't assume that. But, okay, seeing to me, as a council person, I would have had a talk to that city manager and let that police chief know that we represent the city, and when I show my credentials, you stand there.
Somebody should, when he said to them that I am a council person, somebody should have went back to the car.
Well, you got to remember too that there's a blue code of silence, and even they come on the scene and they're automatically, even if their partner's wrong, they're going to back them up.
They're going to back them up.
That's just
at least not in public. They're not going to do it.
They're not going to do it. Number two, speaking to the pastor, we already know, reading our Bible, that all these things have to happen before God comes back and sets up his kingdom. So the world is going to be what it is, and they're going to do what they're going to do. And a lot of stuff is just, it's not even in our control. We can speak about it, but it's going to happen. It's the wheels are already turning towards that. And that's just my personal belief.
The wheels are already turning.
Yes.
And we cannot stop the momentum that we have created, because now we have that posture. Because the consciousness is being raised. And it's not just a black issue. We didn't get out of slavery because of what black folk did. It took some dedicated white folks. That this
that's
is
true. I agree with you. I agree with you 100%.
It's going to do the same thing for this social change. It's going to take folks say, wait a minute, this is not correct.
But when is that going to come? I mean, every week,
it's happening.
I am
now
talking about somebody being shot down in the back by a police officer, or being approached and arrested by a police officer and end up losing their life in jail. Something every week. Mm-hmm. And how long? It can be one of us sitting here at this.
It's been going on all the while. You just don't have instant media. You don't have instant news. But they were hanging people from trees,
we know this.
This is nothing new.
And that's why they're resisting body cameras, where the police department saying, "All right, we're going to put a camera on you." They're resisting that because they don't want to be busted.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the issues that I have a problem with. We have folks in office, and it seems like it shouldn't be an issue, or shouldn't even be a question about officers wearing body cameras or having dash cams. That should be automatic approval.
People have body cams and dash cams and phones, and they still do what they do. Shoot you in the back, shoot you in the head, trying to run away.
Well, like you said, it raised more of awareness when we have those body cameras and dash cams in place, though.
When you
can see it in record numbers, I think it catches our attention more, opposed to things that are happening we don't even know because there are no body cameras or no dash cams. And I think if we had dash cams and body cameras, that the officers would be a little more cautious as to how they conduct themselves.
A bad seed is a bad seed.
They would be a little more careful, I think, if we had evidence to show that, okay, this is being recorded, and when you see evidence, video, and hear sound and all of that, it changes things a little bit more opposed to one person's word against another.
Where's this, what's the 12-year-old boy that was shot down?
Tamir Rice.
Okay. Yeah.
They pretty much said, oh, he is justifiable. How you justified it that? It's not just the body camera, what camera is on you. Cameras are everywhere. We must begin to get politicians and support administrators that are going to say, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Absolutely right. But think about this. Think about what would have happened. We wouldn't even be having this conversation or the conversations we've had about persons that have been shot down or gunned down, whatever you want to call it, or arrested for no reason had it not been for video.
Right.
And that's my point.
But I'm going to go one step farther. We just like with that young man, the 12-year-old boy, Tamir Rice.
Tamir Rice.
And I've seen it even in the court systems here in Richmond, Virginia. You can have all the evidence you want. If they want you to be guilty, they're going to make you guilty. If they don't want that evidence put in there, they won't get that evidence put in there. That young boy, I felt like from looking at the video, I've seen it at least 20 times. There was no reason, but the person who was in charge, either the DA, the district attorney, or whoever it was, they decided they get to make the decisions, even after looking at the evidence, and they just tell us, they shove it down our throat and say, deal with it.
And I'm going to tell you something.
But it gives us something to work with, is what I'm saying.
Yes,
when you
work
it gives us something to work with, opposed if we do not have video which to go by or be able to see what actually happens. And like I said, we would not be having a conversation about Tamir Rice, about this council person, Eric Garner, Freddie Gray, none of that. It would not be any sort of conversation or be in our memory as to the things that have gone on with regards to these persons if it wasn't for the videos. These officers would have written up a report and gone on their merry way.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Yeah. And I've had that happen to me, not far from your church, on Fendall Avenue. I'm coming, driving down, and this young boy standing in the yard with a gun trained on me, and it probably was a BB gun. I could not tell. But he, you know, and I could have got out and went in his house and told him, this boy's out here aiming a gun at people. You know what I'm saying? Just like that woman called, says a kid out there with a gun. Is it a real gun?
Right.
But an officer should not get out of his car in 2 or 3 seconds a child is dead. I thought when you approach a situation, you get a 911 call, you approach a situation, you do not go on what the caller has said, as if it's a real gun. You get out of the car and you actually try to analyze the situation or talk the person down, put the gun down, opposed to jumping out the car and shooting, especially a child.
You make a lot of sense. You know what they could have did in that situation, just like they did to that councilman? They could have tased that young boy.
Right.
And he would have still been alive.
The gun was not real.
Yeah, they could have tased him.
If the gun was real, you jump out of your car you get behind your car and give a warning. Give a warning. If there was no, from what we can see on the dash cam or the video, there was no warning given. Mm-hmm. They jump out of the car, basically shooting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the problem.
And
that's what I'm talking about.
Though
basically
I agree with
shooting.
I agree with you, but I'm going to tell you.
And these are trained officers.
Trained to what degree?
Trained officers to handle situations like that and to de-escalate.
You can be
one of them
opposed to jumping out.
The one who shot him wasn't trained. They checked his background. He failed all kinds of different
tests.
Okay, well let's hold it. Our praise break is sponsored by DNS Cleaning, commercial, residential. No job is too big or too small. Call them today, 804-272-3128.
Hey! If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
Hi, I'm Chocolate Chip, and there's never enough time for everything in a day, and the last thing you want to worry about is having to clean your home or business. Let DNS Cleaning Services make it a little easier for you. We do the work, so you don't have to, and there's no job too big or too small. We offer full-service cleaning for residential and commercial properties, including floor cleaning, stripping and waxing, carpet cleaning, and more. Our staff is professional, courteous, and trained for the highest level of customer satisfaction. Call us today at 804-272-3138. That's 804-272-3138.
If you're the parent of a child with behavioral challenges that has been suspended, expelled, or just not able to make it in a traditional school setting, there is an alternative. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Grades K through 12. Call 804-321-2595.
What is New Orleans Talk Network? It's today's hottest topics with an added flair. You. Get ready, because the conversation will be hot. And better yet, mobile. Download the New Orleans Talk Network app, available on Android, iPhone, iPad. And you can listen to us on the web at www.neworleanstalknetwork.com. Write down our talk line at 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255. Interactive and worldwide. That's what we are. Join in on the real conversation and tell a friend about the New Orleans Talk Network.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip again, and small behavioral health practices are working harder than ever. It's time for a new perspective. Healthcare commercial billing specialists can help you manage your practice, file your claims, and get you paid in record time. The first step is always the hardest. With HCBS Billing, we make it easy and simple for you to start. Thousands of providers are already getting paid on time. It's time you get paid, too. Sign up today at hcbsbilling.com or call us at 866-647-6267. That's 866-647-6267.
Reclaiming the Glow, WMXP 95.5 FM, Greenville's People Powered Radio. Reclaiming the Glow.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free, 844-321-1010.
We want the truth. I want to welcome Van Nevels. How are you, friend?
What's going on? How y'all doing today?
Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, we were talking about the councilman, Jonathan. Jonathan Miller, and what do you think about the situation when you saw the video?
What was the need in tasing him in his back while he's on his knees? He's in a submissive and pretty much subdued position. Why then do you go ahead and tase him in the situation? He wasn't coming at him or nothing like that. What's that about?
Right. I agree with you 100%.
But it's going to be called standard operating procedure, blah, blah, blah. They're going to call it anything but what you want to hear and what should be heard from a person that's in command of those people.
Well, it's going to make me continue to get my blood pressure up.
I don't think that we should become frustrated. I think conversations
Well,
like,
I am, Bill. I am frustrated because I talk about this every week.
Yes.
And what point do we get to that we really bring about change?
Well, this is not utopia. Never has been, never will be. There is no utopia. We have to put on, we must be vigilant every day. Let me just give you a small story.
Oh, Lord.
I left my son to go to church. He's there playing video games. Okay, and he's able to be there at that particular, at his mm-hmm. age. When I get home, after I told him, you be around where I can see you until I get back. Didn't see him. The police brought him home 12 o'clock at night. Mm. Once I found out that they had him, do you know those police couldn't tell me where that boy was? Nobody called me?
Wait a minute. They lost him somewhere?
No, I don't know what happened. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to stress to him, by him being disobedient, he could have been laying in the bottom of the James River.
Right. That's true.
No police officer called me as soon as they apprehended this young man. Nobody could tell me where he was, what precinct he was, what car he was in, or where. I just had to sit there and wait until they came. I'm telling you, we are vulnerable. And these folks, do you think they care? Or we ain't here. We don't know. You're the police. It should go on central command that we've got an underage kid in our possession and we need to get him to his parent. And for us to be a naive to think that this could not happen to you, and if it wasn't for the laws, I'd still be dragging his hind part. And I'm trying to stress upon him. Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, so where was he? What was his side of the story?
He ain't got no side of the story. You weren't at home where you were supposed to be, and I don't want to say no more about what went on, but they brought him back. But three of the young men that he was with, mm-hmm. they arrested them.
Well, it comes down to power, again, and I'll say it again, that the people at the top, and it starts from the top. When they have nothing left, they're gonna enforce their will on us.
Correct.
And that's exactly what the situation
that's
looked
correct.
Like.
That's correct.
They were enforcing their will, saying, we're the police, and you're not.
It is not just the police. If you go anywhere, anybody that's in the position of service is going to make everything convenient for them.
Exactly.
And you just going to have to grin and bear it. I don't care whether you're at the DMV mm-hmm. or anywhere. They're going to do what's for mm-hmm. them. You sit mm-hmm. down and you wait your turn.
Well, I have a problem accepting that, but anyway.
It's the facts.
You can have a problem accepting it all you want to.
Well, let me say this, and people are beginning to retaliate. I sent you all a story with regards to an officer went into Olive Garden, and he was not dressed in his uniform. He had a...
Are you sure?
No, he wasn't. He was not in his uniform because okay. It was a celebration of some kind. He was waiting for his family. And he had his service gun with him. And they asked him to leave because they do not allow, weapons or firearm in the restaurant. Now, another incident happened, I think it was Dunkin' Donuts, where the officer was given a cup of coffee, but it was said something about we do not like police or we don't serve police. And also, I think it also happened in another fast food restaurant. People are beginning to speak out about officers and show their pleasure or their frustrations with the officer. What do you all think about that? Would this get officers' attention because they are, honestly, making themselves a target?
You can't do that.
Well, of course you can't do that.
No, you can't do that, and it shouldn't be tolerated. I wish I was Bill Johnson fried chicken and you said something to an officer. What you say?
Yeah, really.
Okay, so you have more of an emotional reaction to something like that.
You don't
opposed to when you may be arrested just because you're standing outside of your home and want to know what's going on.
Look, the same.
You struck a nerve just now.
Yeah. Okay. You don't do that. Okay.
Officer shouldn't shoot you either when you're on your knees or tase you, right?
Even if that's the officer in there getting a cup of latte, you get that officer's latte and shut your mouth. Your job is to sell latte, not to discriminate against
anyone. And your job is to make sure that if you're going to arrest me that you follow the law.
Well, you ain't worried about that when you're buying a latte.
You got to do it from another position. You can't do it from right there on the scene. Because if you do it right there on the scene, that's when they're going to, again, enforce their will. If you do it from a legislative point of view, or you come at them with some papers and say, hey, I'm going to sue you, this and that, you do it the right way. But if you're going to do something right there on the scene, no, it's not going to turn out good for anybody.
And we need to understand that retaliation brings on escalation. And you cannot and you will not win. They will annihilate you. How about that?
But the restaurant where the gentleman, the police officer, was not in uniform.
Right.
He was not adhering to the guidelines of that establishment, which is different from the donut incident.
Right.
What you talking about?
It is.
Well, when you speak of Olive Garden, the rule is no weapons.
Right.
Inside the facility. And so if you're going to make an exception to the rule for him, you almost open up Pandora's box.
Well, two things. First of all, if he's a police officer, he is automatically given an exception to the rule because he is sanctioned. He's authorized to do such
and almost required to have his gun.
Okay, but let me read this to you. The staff at Olive Garden in Kansas City asked a police officer to leave during his own birthday party lunch.
His family hadn't gotten there.
Officer Michael Hallsworth was waiting for his family to arrive at the restaurant dressed in full uniform with his gun because he was on duty.
I thought they said he wasn't that. I'm saying that. That's my mistake.
Okay. He was in full
uniform. Okay.
So Olive Garden hostess person was wrong.
Okay.
And why? What was wrong with her?
And even if he wasn't in his full uniform.
Well, they're saying that they don't allow guns, right?
We don't allow guns inside the restaurant. Well, he's authorized to have one.
That's but he wasn't on duty.
No, he was waiting for lunch.
But the thing is, he was waiting for his family for a birthday party, right?
Hold on. Was waiting for his family to arrive at the restaurant dressed in full uniform with his gun because he was on duty.
Okay.
That's a different scenario.
Yeah, that is a different scenario.
Completely.
Even if he's off duty, if he is a police officer, there is an exception.
Without a doubt.
No pets allowed. So you tell a blind man, leave his senior and I dog tied up out
the
road.
And for the same thing, you telling the robbers, no guns allowed, you can't rob us. They're going to walk in with their gun anyway.
Yeah, but the bad thing is, how is he on duty if he's meeting his family for a party?
He's on lunch, apparently, or something like that.
Well, I'm thinking this. If the restaurant does not allow guns, he still should have left it in the car.
Well, that really, now you're trolling again, and you know that. Yeah, you're trolling, and you know, so stop, please.
Yeah.
Love you.
Yeah.
She's on for it today. Yeah. Don't eat to it. Don't.
She's in real form.
It's going to take all
the
time.
If somebody walks in there to rob the place, who are you going to call? Who they want to see?
He's not working in the restaurant.
Come on, y'all. He's not working. Okay, that's just like an officer come in here. I hope he leave his gun outside.
If you come in here and he's a police officer, have your gun, have thine own.
That is a part of the required uniform.
NRA lovers, okay.
The only time he's required to remove his weapon is when he's going into an area, I think, where they're prisoners or something like that. Otherwise, he's got to carry his gun. He's a cop.
Yeah.
End of story.
And I have no love for the NRA, and I'm a former Marine.
Oh, okay.
A rifle expert.
And I am, and my father was NRA, and I don't have a problem with it. How about that?
Well, I don't like the NRA because they're racist and sexist. Now, how about that?
Maybe not.
Well, I'm neutral.
They did not come to the rescue of Melissa, what's her name, in Florida, that shot in her own garage and was sentenced to 20 years in prison for shooting or discharging a firearm near her own child.
Right, because her husband was planning on or trying to attack her. Right?
Yes. Yeah. Again.
Yeah, so that would abuse. Domestic abuse in that situation.
It's either
but of course they're not, they are not going to they are not going to come to the rescue of anyone but their own.
Yes.
That's my opinion.
I think we got a theme today, which is when people are in position, they want to enforce their power and their will on us. I think we got a theme
not
going
just
today.
Us. Power and will, period.
Period.
Just
thank
like
you,
that man. Alabama governor that just closed down all the DMVs.
I was so about to bring that up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But look, before we go much further, I do want to acknowledge the contribution of a recently passed civil rights and workers' rights advocate, Grace Lee Boggs, who died at the age of 100 last week. I have yet to make that a public statement, and here you go.
Okay, and also, too, we want to recognize Alicia Raisin, one of our own, known as Richmond's Ambassador of Compassion. Alicia Raisin said her mission was to help anybody, but she's best known as an advocate for families of homicide victims. She answered calls day and night and helped families deal with loss, arranging funerals, and working with victims of sudden and violent crime, all without pay. We salute Richmond's Ambassador of Compassion, Alicia Raisin.
Yes.
Amen. Yeah, she. Now, you're talking about a show enough fighter. I mean... Mm-hmm. I mean, she was there for any and everybody. She really was. And if we were to model ourselves half much, as much as she was, you know, for the community, imagine how much this world would be a far better place. Think about it. I think you knew her personally, Bill.
Did you? Yeah, I did.
I know.
Did you? You did too? Yeah.
Yes. We grew up.
She was a soldier. Well, she was a soldier. She was one of those that had compassion.
A trooper.
Yes, she was. And, you know, and you could look for her to be at your door if you had, like I say, something like that happened to your family. She would be there, and she had the resource. I had the access to resources to make sure that your siblings and your children were looked for, looked after, and somebody was paying attention to what was happening to them. That's a special talent.
Yes.
Right.
It was a sense of calling for Alicia, and she was dedicated and committed.
Yes, she was very much so. And I think she had the respect of everybody. Yes.
And I can't recall her ever coming to council and asking for money. Mm-hmm. I don't recall that. She may have, but I did not recall her telling me anything about her charity or anything and asking council for money. It was all done by whatever resources she was either given, and whatever she was given, she shared it. But I don't recall passing any papers or signing on to any legislation where she asked for money.
She is the kind of soldier, if we all can just model a portion of how she gave back or would give to the community, I just can imagine how much better off we would be. That's the thing.
Everybody can't do that.
Well, I'm saying a portion. Even if you can't go as far as she did, do something.
Yeah, you can't do that.
You never know what you can do until you try.
Yeah, well, you try, but you know how many homeless
do
people
what you can do what you can do whatever you ride by, do whatever your God given gift is.
That's the thing.
You were a council person. Yes. You gave many years to council, and you're still giving in many ways. Talk about the statue. I want you to talk about that. What's in the paper?
This is recognition of us as Black folk. I'm less concerned about what's going on Monument Avenue, but I am so pleased and so proud of this mayor to make sure that idea that was started over 10 years ago is now coming to fruition, to celebrate a woman. I'm not going to say a Black woman, but a woman internationally known, right?
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to take a break, and I want you to tell all of our audience folks, especially not in this area, know what you're talking about.
Searching for the best in online Black radio, then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, Black talk.
Parents, do you know how your child learns the best? If not, it could be hindering their academic success. At Believe in You Academic Development Center, we provide a unique learning experience for students in grades K through 12 in all academic areas. Qualified academic coaches personalize instruction so that students gain deeper understanding of their subjects. Don't wait until the end of the grading period to find help. We are available to come to your home, or you can come to our center. Call 458-5812, text BELIEVE to 63975, or go to believe-in-u.com. First session is free.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers. Call 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730. 800-961-2730.
Hey there, Big John Trimble here. Thanks to Tanya for freeing up the time to allow me to talk about the Big John Trimble Show. Heard Monday through Friday mornings, 6 to 9, right here on WCLM Radio. Yes, sir, after 57 years, I'm still on the radio and 24/7 on BigJohnTrimble.com. It all originates from our backyard studio over here in Verona. We play a wide variety of requested music from Fats Domino, Chuck Berry, and Donna Washington, to George Jones, George Strait, and Loretta Lynn, along with the trivia contest and over-the-fence chats with our listeners from across the Richmond area, across the USA, and sometimes foreign countries. The Big John Trimble Show. It's the most fun you'll ever have with your clothes on.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Hey Bill, go ahead and explain what you were talking about for folks that are not in this area.
So. Yes, we are. Thanks to the mayor and members of city council, we are now in the process of erecting a statue to commemorate the life of Maggie Walker, and it's going to be put at Adams and Broad Street, and which was a gateway which separated the black community from the white community. It's a gateway project, and it's going to be a plaza, and it's a project whose time has come. And even though I put the paper in 1999, it's our current mayor who made sure that it got funded, and now it's been announced that they're going to break ground in this fall, and we should have it erected by next year.
So who was Maggie Walker?
Maggie Walker was a banker. She was a philanthropist. Mm-hmm. She was an educator. She was several different entities in our community. And she was prominent and nationally known.
Right.
So she was very prominent in our community. She lived in Jackson Ward, where we had many of our prominent black people. We were more than just slaves in this city. We were people of prominence and of means here, and she was one of those.
Wonderful. Great work. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so very much. And we need people like you to continue to fight to get our story told. And like you said, Maggie L. Walker and many others that need to be recognized.
Well, I did not do it alone.
I know you didn't, but you ought to get kudos for it.
Thank you.
Well, let's talk about one other thing, and this is not a very pleasant story. Bill Cosby. Once again, more women continue to come forth. They did a piece last, I think it was either Thursday or Friday, and it really hurts my heart. This, you know, I was a real big Bill Cosby fan, and really, you know, thought him, you know, to be the father figure of, you know, of African Americans, and, you know, all the what's the show? Can't even think of the name of the show, but
the Cosby Show.
But it was another one with the college.
Fat Albert.
Yeah, and many others. But the Spy Show.
I Spy.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, I've been watching Bill Cosby on absolutely everything. And now for his legacy to be tarnished like it is, and he's being taken down, it is painful. It is really, really painful. And, you know.
Well, it's the price you pay for public, to being a public person. Michael Jackson and Little Richard and a whole lot of folk. You know, once you get to a certain level, these folk don't have any problem besmirching your character and tearing you up. Look like they look forward to it.
Yeah, well, besmirching is one thing, but if he in fact did all that it is that it's claimed of him, then the brother's a serial rapist. That's the end of the story. He's hysterical and all of that, but no amount of hysteria in the world created by him is going to take that away.
And well, if that's the case, you know what I'm saying? So I'm not going to sit here and persecute him on radio either. I'm not going to do that.
Because
what you going to when you go into the Playboy Mansion to have a good time, and who up in there and what's going to be going on. So all of a sudden, here you come out here with your story.
Well, I question the 16-year-old. That now at this, I don't know, like somebody said, about 40-some years old now. She would be 40, like 40-some years old now, dragging him off to court. If you're 16, what are you doing at the Playboy Mansion?
She's just like anybody else. She's looking to get her name propped up. She's looking for her 15 minutes of glory. I'm not going to sit here and talk about what Bill Cosby has given a lot to the African American community. He's done a lot in the Philadelphia area. He's done a lot of good work, but where there's smoke, there's fire. If you got one or two or three people saying something about you, that's one thing. But when you got 50 people saying something about you, you got to take a look at that. You got to at least look at it. You know, I'm not sitting here accusing the man of anything, but where there's smoke, there's
usually
fire.
On the other side of that, too, if you got 50 and you mean no one came forward?
They came forward.
Yeah,
they just got it swept under the rug.
Same thing happened with Herman Cain when he was running for president. All these women came out of the woodwork, and same thing happened to him. He had to drop his campaign.
Anita Hill, who made the thing against case against the Supreme Court judge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's how you do it. I'm not one to
opposed to 50.
Well, no, if you're drugging women.
Right.
Yeah, okay. They came.
That's a whole nother thing.
Well, and women were being drugged, but I don't necessarily say that he was the one that's doing it.
Well, I guess what bothers me, you had a few of the women that said they were drugged and they went back and again, and that's the crazy part. But that wasn't all of them. Right, I know it wasn't all of them.
You know?
I agree with you. I know it wasn't all of them. But what has caused, all of a sudden, I just can't understand how this is started this ball rolling all of a sudden. It seemed like it's just...
Well, it's the nature of the beast today.
Yep.
People like to pile on. Good, bad, or indifferent, they'll just take the lie and just roll with it. You know, at one time when they were talking about the president and all of his indiscretions,
Nobody even reported it. Nobody said anything about it. They kept that stuff hush hush. But now they don't have that. There is no honor. There is no need to try to protect nobody. Anything they do, just like the guy who was Chafee. Not it was a Chafee who's running for the Speaker of the House.
No,
Chaffetz.
Chaffetz.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lincoln Chafee is running for Democrat.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, McCarthy, he stepped down. McCarthy. He stepped down.
Right.
For
they just
reason.
Had a letter, and all of a sudden.
Let's take it a little bit further. Look at our former President Clinton.
Yeah.
Everybody thinks of him as a hero now.
But what I'm saying is, people will try jump on something, and tear you to pieces.
Okay, but how is it that President Clinton is looked to as a hero, with all that Monica Lewinsky stuff that went on and everything? You know, his legacy.
King Star Spit.
His legacy has not been, to the point. Everything. Like I said, everybody thinks of him as
because,
a hero
well,
now.
A, it was consensual,
and it's like
B, well, she wasn't underage, but she was young, and he didn't drug her.
And I'll even add on, we got a local talent here who's behind bars, Mr. Darren Sharper, for the same exact thing. They said that he drugged women and. And he's behind bars. He's not coming out for at least 9 years.
Yeah. Well, I'm not defending Bill Cosby. I'm not persecuting him either. I'm just saying the culture today puts us in the situation that we are because folk are just so willing to come in and just tear you all to pieces, tear your life all to pieces, your family. They just don't care.
Just the mere accusation of is enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that
is enough.
That's enough to keep good people or people who are reasonably able from even participating in the political process. I mean, even preachers. Nobody's immune from having your whole life destroyed over an allegation, justified
right.
or not.
I agree with that.
So I'm not going to add to it. Just like I walk through Kroger, I don't stop and pick up. What's the magazines they have on the thing showing all that crazy mess beyond it?
National Enquirer.
I don't pick that mess up. And when I see it on the TV, I click the channel.
Right,
who wants to
right.
hear it?
You're right. Well, you have some people that gravitate. Well, you do. And
a
it's
lot
very
of people.
Unfortunate.
So I don't,
that
I try
happened.
Not to add to that crap. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Bill Cosby was an inspiration to me.
Right. And that's my point. And I feel that, yes, some of the women, I do believe that the women were drugged. I just can't believe all 50, and I think that makes it even more painful when the numbers continue to grow.
Well,
it makes it look like he was just and the thing is, none of the women on the Cosby Show or other shows he's been on, for what I can see, are in that number.
No. What is it, Beverly Johnson?
Yeah, that's the only one.
Right.
That's the only one. Felicia, the one that played his wife, the girls that played his kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about them.
Well, they probably didn't know.
You got to see him on a regular basis, so that's the whole different
thing. You got to work with this. It's a working relationship there. Yeah. It's not a casual thing where you can just get in and get out. I think that Bill Cosby, at a certain point, the man knows what he's done. He knows what he's done for the community. He's done a lot of great things. At a certain point, you got to protect yourself, and you got to have some integrity, and you got to know that, hey, sooner or later, and I'll just go back to my scriptures, what's done in the dark is sooner or later going to come out in the light. And he should have known whether it was 1974 or 2014, it was going to come out in the light.
No, I can see that you thinking, because you're a celebrity and you got money, that no, I can
get
away with
it. How old is Bill right now? He's got to be in mid late 70s, right?
Yeah, but I think that when you are a celebrity, you think you are above the law and
that's
like
a mental defect,
right?
But he's not the only one.
I think what we're overlooking, and I'm not justifying his action. You're going back there to the mid 60s,
mm-hmm.
and the culture of that time.
It was sex, drugs, and rock and
roll.
Right.
And he even had it in his comedy spit.
Rock and roll.
Bit.
And I'm not justifying it.
Doesn't make
and
it
so
right,
when
though.
You're absolutely. Oh, I'm agreeing with you that the reality is he was engaged in a culture that embraced that kind of activity, be it right or wrong. Even on a local level, you give a lady a drink. That's why I say if you go to the bar, don't turn your back. You know, you hold your drink in your hand. because somebody could drop a Mickey.
Right.
And he probably didn't
that
drop
kind
the
of
Mickey's.
Dynamic took place.
Somebody dropped the Mickey coin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not.
Maybe she brought her own Mickey.
Yes, sir.
She could have brought a Mickey.
Big mouth bottle.
now that's taking a bit far.
And I think we have to take that into consideration.
Bill is 78 years old. Someone just said he's 78 years old.
Yeah, she's old man. Let him alone. Leave him alone.
But that sounds like something.
Well, the question.
No, don't leave him alone. If he's guilty of it, then he needs
the
price.
I said the damage is done.
Should okay, the damage is done. But the question is this:
he's not paid anything for yet.
Right? Should he have to serve time? Should he have to serve time or something? With regards to what he did in the past, that many years ago, we're talking almost 20,
definitely.
40 years.
Let me ask you this: if it was your sister, would you ask that same question? How would you feel if it was Tanya Free's sister that he did that to back in the '70s, and
I think
it was him?
Okay, and if I knew it was him, and yes, I think I would want some sort of justice done.
At what point is this an allegation, and you have proof?
You don't.
You don't have no proof.
This
is allegations.
No, you're right.
This is 50 women coming forward saying he did this to me. Good, bad, or indifferent. You don't have any proof for that, so I'm going to do jail because of an allegation?
This is a tough one. It is. It's a tough one.
According to some recently opened depositions or confessions, for lack of a better term, that has come out as a result of this, he said he's actually purchased such things with the intent to.
Right.
Yeah, well, if he did that, he incriminated himself.
Yeah. Right.
But that does still
omit. But that was a while ago, but these new allegations have allowed that to be open and be available to the public. It had not been prior to. So with that, you know, short of actual videotape and so on and so on, it's...
Actually seeing blood tests, stuff like that. You know,
yeah, I kind of don't need quite that
much. I said, let's go.
But well, more than that, don't look at his age as being a thing of it happened, blah, blah, blah. If they catch and convict a 90-year-old Nazi death camp guard or someone who participated in that at 90 years old and they find him guilty, he's going to jail for 20 minutes.
I see that very different. I see that very different.
Why is it different? He committed a crime.
A death camp where you're killing people?
Yes.
Where somebody willfully walk into the Playboy Mansion?
Not all of these women that were involved in this walked into the Playboy Mansion
You went into the party atmosphere. You know,
you were talking about a specific instance. I'm talking about across the board.
I'm talking about Bill Cosby had.
Well, if he had drugged and raped one woman, then he guilty. There you go. That it's
if
10,
that's the
15,
case.
Or 30.
If that's the case. I
and I've used
that.
The word if.
Yeah, I don't know that. I don't know. That's why I wouldn't want to perpetuate
the 16-year-old girl who was up in there. She wasn't up in there. She wasn't going up in there.
She was up in there being grown.
She wasn't going up in there thinking, "Oh, I'm going in here to have sex." She was going in to say, "I want people to notice me so I can get on the cover. I can do modeling. I can do this. I could be a movie star."
Where your mama at?
Yeah,
right.
That's
the problem. But the thing is, it is a difference when you have drugged two or three women opposed to 50.
That's what I'm saying.
Because it looked like he was a serial.
And that's
rapist,
how it's being.
Which is a word that I use.
That's how it's being made to be seen.
Made to be seen. Okay.
Well, I think you're right, Bill.
Just like Hillary Clinton's
emails.
Just emails.
Right. I think you're right, Bill. It is made to be seen like that, and that's the part that's disturbing. Opposed to two or three, but you got 50. It is made to be seen
like
that.
It isn't made to be seen like nothing. That's how it is, and you look at it like.
Well, that's why I think we have to evaluate a little bit closer as to.
Serial means series of continuation.
I understand what that means. Okay. Thank you very much. I didn't want you to get what it means. Okay, let's go to our black talk commentary while I get banned straight over here during the break.
A minute have I had since you've come my way. I hope you know I'd gladly go anywhere you take me. It's so amazing to be alive. I'd follow you to the moon and the sky above.
I'd follow you to the moon and the sky above. And it's so amazing, amazing. I could stay
forever. This is Tanya Free. If it's Monday, it's time for Let's Get Busy with your host, King Salim Kalfani. 4 to 6 p.m. here on the heart and soul of the city, WCLM 1450 AM. Kick off the week with KSK, Commonwealth Consultation, LLC, for two power-packed hours of news you can use, feature guests, cutting-edge commentary, and more. Let's get busy with King Salim Kalfani every Monday at 4.
WCLM, 1450 AM, Highland Springs, Richmond. The soul of the city is WCLM, 1450 AM.
Calling all dreadheads, are you tired of your locks being dry, limp, and weighed down? Do your locks have an odor or you have unbearable itchy scalp? Are your locks thinning or falling off? If so, you need to visit Dreadhead Studio, offering full service lock maintenance, starter locks, kid services, weekly specials, and more. Try their online booking for your next appointment. For more information, call 804-601-8216. That's 804-601-8216. Or visit dreadheadstudio.com. Located at 133 East Bell Boulevard, Suite M in South Richmond.
This is Tanya Free. When was the last time you had your blood pressure checked? 1 in 3 adults are reportedly living with high blood pressure, and only half have their condition under control. Research reveals that hypertension develops more often and at an earlier age in African Americans. High blood pressure can lead to heart disease, stroke, and kidney failure. Visit your health care professional and keep your blood pressure under control. Tanya's Medical Minute is sponsored by the Capital Area Health Network, the heart of the community.
The Democrats took to the stage last night, and Hillary Clinton's poor judgment was slightly highlighted. She admitted she made a poor decision in how State Department emails were handled, with work-related emails she claimed she turned over still being recovered by the FBI. While she did not admit she was wrong on Iraq, that is pretty evident, and she has recently flipped on other policy positions so many times you would think she was trying out for the U.S. Olympic gymnastic team. Speaking of Iraq, in the widely acknowledged lies the Bush administration used to justify an invasion, Clinton doubled down on the lies put forth by the Obama administration to justify destroying one of the most prosperous and modern nations in Africa, while using words like dictator to describe U.S. ally at the time of his assassination, Muammar Gaddafi. Only Jim Webb challenged Clinton on her lies concerning Libya, but even in doing so, he lied about the need for intelligence on the ground when the U.S. enjoyed full diplomatic relations with Libya since 2005 with an embassy and several CIA offices in the country. Like Iraq, Libya, in the void of Gaddafi's leadership, has descended into chaos, with militant Arab terrorists seen beheading Christians on beaches. The country is now a failed state and terrorist training ground, all thanks to the lies of the Obama administration and repeated by Clinton last night, and saying that Gaddafi was about to slaughter a huge number of Libyans. What happened after the U.S. had Gaddafi murdered can only be called ethnic cleansing, as African immigrants and non-Arab Libyans were hunted down and killed by the thousands, while Hillary Clinton somewhere in the country laughed and joked about the killing of a sitting head of state. Another thing that caught my attention from the debates is how CNN moderator Anderson Cooper skipped Hillary Clinton on the question of whether Black Lives Matter, who earlier this year stood in a black church in Ferguson and told those in attendance that all lives matter, in response to questions about Black Lives Mattering. The actions of Hillary Clinton over the length of her political career has shown that black lives don't matter to Hillary Clinton anywhere on the planet. And anyone who thinks she has shown good judgment is surely supporting her because she is a woman, as she reminded everyone several times last night. This has been Scotty Reed with your Black Talk Radio weekly commentary. Join me and other independent black media producers on BlackTalkRadioNetwork.com. We'll be right back.
Join the conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free
844-321-1010. We're going to go straight to the phones and our friend Real Brothers with us. Huh?
Hey,
Real Brothers, how are you? Are you there?
I'm doing good, good, good. Thanks for having me on.
Go ahead. What you got for us?
Okay. Well, as far as Bill Cosby was concerned, I told a joke that the accusers said that Bill Cosby gave him something. They took it, and then they woke up 40 years later, and the president was black. So it had to be rape. And so
you know you're
that's
not right.
Thought
you
on
know
that.
You, you are not right.
I might have
you know you're not right on that. We're going to get some calls on that one. You are too on your show.
Now,
yeah, we're
going to
get some calls on that one.
Good for you, Real Brother. That was a good one.
Don't y'all laugh at him. Well, let me ask you this. What did you think of last night's debate?
Okay, now, my thought of the debate is exactly what I've been saying. Now, they couldn't appreciate Obama when he was in office. They swore up and down that he was a puppet for these same idiots who can't hold his job. Now we see how lame, how inept, and how boring these people are. And that was, Obama knew that that was going to happen. The only solution is for Hillary, I don't think any of the other candidates would do it, to follow Obama's policies to the letter and be successful, and she could have a successful woman president. If they deviate from Obama's policies one bit and try to institute free college and socialism and destroy the banking system and make everybody poor and institute socialism and racism and Donald Trumpism, then they're going to fail, and the next 20 presidents are going to be black. So they better watch what they're doing and stop playing and go on ahead and admit that Obama was right and they were wrong and go on ahead and follow his lead.
That ain't going to never happen, brother. They ain't going to never admit that. So I hear you. You sound like you got it all together, but they ain't going to do that, brother.
Okay. Now, what's going to happen is, which we had that under Bush. See, Bush wasn't going to do it either. And what happened? We ended up with the black president. So we got the Eric Holders are out there, and the Susan Rices are out there. And the black people, the Loretta Lynches, the Susan Rices, they're out there. So
that's why, like you said, the black folks out there. Ben Carson is out there. So
Ben Carson is out there in terms of.
Well,
like,
he is out there.
Yeah, he is out there. That's my point. And he's beginning to be gained on Trump.
Way out there.
The extremes on the left and the extremes on the right are not going to work. I heard you were talking about whether we should have a third party.
Right.
And a third party is nothing but the extremes of the left and the right. And if you take the Tea Party and you take Bernie Sanders and the Hillary supporters that were upset because she lost, and you make another party, it's going to be worse because it's going to be the worst of the parties that we didn't want. It's going to be the Ralph Nader nuts and the Lyndon LaRouche nuts and all these other Ron Paul nuts. So the independent
like
thing
Democrats.
Is not going to fly. They got one course of action, and that is I think Obama has timed it so beautifully that we could afford 4 years of somebody trying to see whether or not their white supremacy works. But after that 4 years, they're going to be looking at not getting reelected. So Hillary can talk all she wants about being the first woman president. If the first woman president fails, then what does that do for the next woman president? So she's got to, at some point, and I think she will, she's not that stupid, she's got to accept what the reality is, and that is you cannot govern from the far left or the far right. You have to govern from the middle. That means nobody's going to like you, but so what? You'll at least be successful.
Yeah,
I think that's what they have to do.
We had that same issue, though, when President Obama got elected. What if he fails? What was her name from Minnesota who kept running around the country? One term president, she wanted him out.
And Michelle Bachmann.
She wanted him out, but it didn't work. And I think that the Republicans are smart enough to know that
they don't want to have the Ross Perot effect again, because Ross Perot came in and jacked a lot of stuff up for them, because Bush, the father, would have been he'd had a second term, and he didn't, and that's how Bill Clinton got in, and that's how he got his 8 years. So I think that they're smart enough to look at the past, which wasn't too far ago, and say, hey, we better not make that mistake again if the Republicans are paying attention.
They haven't learned jack from the past, right, according to these current group of frat boys and sorority girl that's up on the stage for them. Are you serious?
I agree with you. I understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
Look, they're coming after a new... They're going after a new demographic now. They're going after Hispanics. They're telling them, well, we don't want you in the country. Let's build a wall 50 feet high
but
so none of y'all can come in there.
But they're catering to their constituents when they have that type of talk.
Right, they're catering to the hardline.
Right, that's what that is. And I believe that is beginning to divide, because they have infighting going on right now.
These folks can't even come up with a Speaker of the House. Nobody right. wants
exactly.
that job, but it's... I mean, that is a huge position.
Yeah, but
it's
don't
nobody want one.
Because of the infighting that's going on in the House. That's the problem that they're having. So, and with the public, you know, their own constituents seeing that, I think that's why they are in trouble.
Nobody wants the job, because very few people can stand the public scrutiny and what that job entails.
And there's not going to be any cooperation.
Yeah, you can't do it.
If this small group of folks who call themselves, I guess, the Freedom Caucus, which
right.
no one can name exactly, they're going to keep stuff from happening anyway if one of them doesn't end up being the Speaker. And if one of them ends up being the Speaker,
nobody's
the first thing to come out of their mouth is going to be something crazy, and then it's going to again fall apart. So what are you going to do?
And I agree with you. I think that's a spinoff. When they say Freedom Caucus, I think that's just code word
for
Tea Party.
They're talking about freedom. But
extreme,
who's freedom?
Extreme,
who are they talking about?
And extreme conservative.
Common sense, if you want to win an election, you got a big demographic, which is the Hispanic community. Don't disrespect them. And that's what they're doing. They're totally disrespecting these people, and they don't deserve to win.
They're disrespecting the president.
They're disrespecting... Mexicans, they ain't disrespecting Puerto Ricans, and they ain't disrespecting Dominicans and so on. They're disrespecting Puerto Ricans. I mean, Mexicans, first of all.
Yeah, baby.
And they are probably, I would imagine, to be probably the largest Hispanic demographic in. But that they talk about them in a broad brush sort of way, I'm not going to vote for them, because they're talking about somebody else based on their ethnicity, and I'm black, so what'd that make me?
Exactly. Right. If they did it for them, if they talk about them bad, and I said that all the time, they'll talk about me bad, you know. So.
They're talking about you worse.
You're not even talking about us, period. So what does that say? They're not even talking about us, period.
And
that's basically, be honest about it, on both sides, because we had just a few comments about us last night, so, and that's on the Democratic stage.
Those which were?
Talk about Black Lives Matter,
uh-huh.
And I think Bernie Sanders was the only one that actually, to me, connected with Black Lives Matter. I know Webb said all lives matter.
He's from Virginia.
Right, I know, but the question was, does Black Lives Matter mm-hmm. or all lives matter? And Bernie Sanders was the only one that said Black Lives Matter.
Was he pandering? Was that a canned response?
I don't think it was.
Whether it was or wasn't, it was said.
Right, it was
said.
And
he gets credit for it.
Tanya, let me say this.
Well, let me say this. Real Brother, we're going to look forward to hearing from you in 2 weeks.
That'll be good. You guys are off next week?
Yes, we're off next week, but you have your show going on in 2 weeks, right?
I hope that in 2 weeks I'll have my show back on, and the truth will be raining down hard on them. They better get an umbrella.
There you go.
Right.
Bring it, real brother.
Thank you, friend. We appreciate it.
All right.
You're going to go to the phone. We got Reggie online, too.
Hey, Tanya. How you doing with your group?
All right. How about you?
Hey, Reggie.
See you down at homecoming, lady, you know, on TV and everything.
Yes.
Talking about economics, you know.
Yes. We will be there, VSU.
Yes, ma'am. But two things to the panel. Yesterday, watching the debate, it seems like we live in two Americas.
Mm-hmm.
I look at the Republican debate versus the Democrat debate, and I'm starting to wonder, do we even live in the same country?
There you go.
I mean, the issues being raised. And, you know, I hate to say this, but under President Obama, watch. When I heard about poverty and how things are, I'm looking like, did I miss something here? I mean, you know, see, that's what pissed off the Democrats. When President Obama took over office, we know how much disarray this country was in. And what really angers me is that not one banker has been arrested.
Right.
And they're not going to be.
Well, Bernie Sanders talked about that last night. And for some reason...
Obama bailed them out.
Yeah. I mean, we've got to keep it 100. You know, so I don't have no cut cards. If you're wrong, you're wrong. I don't care if you're...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I don't want a Klan conservative, you know.
And why are we not bringing that to the forefront? And what I saw last night, Hillary Clinton, like she was playing real, you know, walking a tightrope when that, you know, question came up or when that issue came up.
And like I said before, on her husband watched is why the criminal justice system is so out of whack right now. And I don't know if y'all saw this video of these D.C. cops. This young man was using an ATM while black. It was on Roland Martin's show today at 7 o'clock this morning when they slammed the kid on the ground. Mm. Some European woman called up and said she was fit for her life because she saw some blacks using the ATM and she thought they were trying to rob the place.
Darn. Unbelievable. You know, and it continues to happen.
We're not these sort of conservatives like the Sean Hannitys and the Bill O'Reillys. They're talking about civil liberties. When are they going to start opening their mouths?
Oh, they're not. Oh, no. You know what?
Civil liberties extend to those who listen to them. You ain't one of them. Period. So why even talk about it based on being fair and balanced when you know fair and balanced ain't nothing but a tagline and it's full of crap?
Well, I think his point is we got to do a better job in stepping up to the plate. And that's the breakdown.
Yeah, but like I said, you need a taster. I don't care who you are. You need to tell the story no matter what and hold people accountable. So, yes, we should raise the issue.
Right.
And that's why I'm raising it.
There you go.
Let me tell you something. Back in December 24th of 1913, I believe it was, the country got sold. Period.
Mm-hmm.
That was when the Federal Reserve banking a bank came into being as a central bank. Since then, it's been there. So every election we participate in, and so on, it is largely the soap opera that we talk about because what really goes on has already been planned, done. As far as I can see.
Well, this is the one thing that I really consider, you know, pay attention to what Bernie Sanders. I'm not a Bernie Sanders fan because I don't believe, I think we've created a culture of dependency. But you have to do something to change the
paradigm. Rich folks ain't got a same culture, don't they?
He said that. He said we need to come and vote.
Thank you.
We need in numbers, vote. And then when you have people that you vote for, do what it is you want them to do. Get rid of them.
Yeah, and you have to change the tax code, which does not reward you for doing the things that are being done. Sure. Shutting down plants and moving across seas. But then again, we've priced ourselves out of the global economy because you're expecting a whole lot for a little bit of nothing.
Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, as much as I know the Tea Party, that's the Tea Party. They got up there and look how they changed things.
Right, exactly. And that's why you have that dysfunction in the House right now.
And let me add this then. Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, they're all good people. They got great ideas. And Bernie was the one who stepped up to the plate last night. But guess what they're going to do to him? The same thing they did to President Obama. They're going to block him. If Bernie Sanders... If Bernie Sanders became our president, they'll do the same thing to him that they did
he's
to President
already,
Obama.
Because he's not bought by big corporations.
He's already in the Senate.
He didn't wear wine so much. He shouldn't even on the stage.
Change. You can believe in that was Bernie's changed. He's just like President Obama. He's changed, but they're not going to allow it. They're going to block him like it's a basketball game.
Bernie has been in the he's been a part of Congress for the past 50 years and hadn't passed not one. Hadn't changed nothing. He ain't even changed his mind. He out there now talking all that rhetoric, and he hasn't done anything.
You should have said he didn't change his haircut.
I said nothing.
Reggie, tell him I'm listening to your show.
Hey, every Saturday from 11:45 to 1. And real quick, Dr. Ben Carson, why are you lying about getting robbed at Popeye? Can the brother tell the truth just one time? And I got to say, y'all, he's not y'all, but the minute lay off his wife, I mean, look, I was, hey, man, Lord, hammer.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate it. Go to break.
You're listening to AMFM 247, music you love from the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Best talk radio all day and every day.
Doc, you gotta give it to me straight.
All right.
Because I'm dying here. I mean, take a look at this letter from the IRS.
Oh, my.
This is killing me, Doc. I tell you, it's killing me.
Cheer up, my friend. Huh? The tax doctor is here. My diagnosis tells me that you're going to be just fine.
Really?
The tax doctor will not rest until we find you the best possible tax settlement.
Really, Doc?
Guaranteed.
If the IRS claims you owe them $10,000 or more in business or personal back taxes, call a tax doctor right now. We could save you up to 75% if you qualify. Guaranteed or you pay nothing. Call right now for free details.
800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. 800-918-7169. That's 800-918-7169.
Hey, this is Chocolate Chip. Dreading the start of the new school year? A stressful time for parents of children with behavioral challenges. Call the Metropolitan Day School. Don't go through another year of failing grades, phone calls from the principal, and frequent suspensions. Call the Metropolitan Day School today. Licensed and accredited. 804-321-2595. Financial assistance available. Start the school year off right at the Metropolitan Day School, where eagles soar. Don't wait. Call Ms. Thomas today at 804-321-2595.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
Oh, okay. Okay. We're back. Okay. Daniel says not to trust Bernie. He is a socialist. Okay.
What's wrong with being a socialist? Jesus was a socialist.
Well, do you know what they did to him?
Reverend,
you had to go and mess up the whole example, didn't you? That's why black folks can't get
okay, Reverend, you supposed to you supposed to got me on that one. You supposed to pull me back.
He should have laid holy hands on you.
Yes, he should have did that.
Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read some of the comments as to whether or not people think we should have a third party. James said, looking forward, as always, to the show. Thank you, James. We appreciate that. This is a problem in Prairie View, Texas. I got the wait a minute. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay, I'm sorry. I was reading the wrong sheet. Okay. Kathy said, the time is now. Hillary and Trump. Mm-hmm. Okay. Stan said the Republican Party seems to be on the verge of a split with the Freedom Caucus. I agree with that. I think that is going to cost them this election this time around. Dennis said, if this is the best of the Democrats and Republicans, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Jesse said, we don't have to wait. Michael Bloomberg did not rule out an independent bid when he interviewed. Okay. Longtime listener said a third party won't matter as long as we vote for the less of the evils.
Yeah, that would be true.
Okay. Eva said yes. Tanya said blacks are focused to choose the Democrats because the Republicans don't even try to address social issues affecting us. And that is so very true, because if you think back the last two debates, They mentioned Black Lives Matter on the first debate, and it was going to the. It was doing, you know, when they were getting ready to go to the commercial, and it was like maybe a few seconds for them. Only enough for them to say, "Oh, we you know tackled a black issue." No, you didn't. You just mentioned it. That's all that was. So, and the Democrat, the Republicans did not talk about the economy, as far as jobs, none of that. So they definitely do not have our interests at heart.
I personally would love to have. To have really two parties to choose from, but I don't, because you hear what comes out of the Republicans' mouth. And it's not that I just don't like them just because they're Republicans. It's listen to what they say. More than that, listen, look at what they've done. That's
they're
my
not
issue
talking about anything.
Well, oh, no, they're talking about aren't something either. That the doesn't Democrats mean aren't good either. The Democrats are taking us for granted.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. They don't need to mess with us.
Maybe because they think that they're going to get the vote, or they know
that's,
that they're
that's
their
what it is. They already know they're going to get the vote. End of story.
Yeah, look
and
at it, the
and that's so unfortunate for us, because if that's the case, we're still when they get in office. You think they're going to do anything for us? Because they already know they got our vote. They don't have to.
They're not going to be able to do anything. Not because they can't. It's because they won't. Because the other side will block them. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of the beast. That whatever you do, if you're trying to do something, every time you shoot up a shot, Tanya, I'm going to try to block it. That's what their game plan is. They're going to block whatever you do.
Well, Bernie Sanders addressed that last night, that we need to show up during the mid-elections and vote for people that will have our interests at heart.
But sadly, the gerrymandering has made that
and
plan.
And not only that, we don't have a candidates to choose from. People aren't
whether or not
going
you have
to,
one,
you can show up by the trillions if you don't have anybody where they're voting for. You're just maintaining the status quo.
That's true.
People who have knowledge of politics and the policy and how to administer policy are not running for public office. They're not doing it.
That and also the structural changes that have been made on purpose in order to keep these folks that are not there to govern in their seats.
Yeah, but nothing stops you from governing. But if I show up with a shopping bag with $200,000 in it, you can vote like I told you to
they're
vote.
They're choosing to not govern.
And that's
they
the
came
problem.
In to blow
yeah,
up
that is the big
that's
problem.
The
this is another thing that Bernie's talking about
right.
as far as politicians being bought and paid
right.
for.
Right, exactly.
You
and
know what I'm
in my opinion, I heard that from Hillary. I heard Hillary sounds like she is. She was real careful when they started talking about Wall Street. And that told me that she is definitely, no question, bought.
In her defense, anything that Hillary Clinton says will be picked apart. Yeah. She has to be guarded because the press is waiting to get you. Now, if everything you say, you have to watch it, you have to come by, you can't change your opinion, you can't do this. Well, you say it. I was 16 when I said that. My point is, yes, you have to be guarded. You have to every word you say, your whole posture, because you're constantly under attack when you're a politician, especially if you're a front runner.
Well, if that's the case, Mitt Romney made it to the second debate and started flip-flopping on President Obama last time around, and nobody held him accountable.
What they do to him?
Nothing.
They got him, too.
here's a disconnect I see between folks that voted for Mitt Romney and folks who did not, folks that voted for him. The majority of folks that voted for him are blue-collar people, for the most part, that make less than $100,000 a year. They pay at least a quarter, if not a third, of their taxes, of their paychecks and taxes. Mitt Romney might, and this is a big might pay 15% of his total earnings
right.
in taxes.
And that is what Bernie Sanders was talking about last night.
Where do y'all have something in common besides involuntary bodily function?
Well, if I have the wherewithal to put in place to have deductions because I hire minorities and women, and I get a deduction for that, the more I do that, which contributes back into the economy, then yes, I get a deduction for that, and I take advantage of that.
And you make it, you that's cool and all, but where does the majority of these people's money at?
But y'all to whose people?
Overseas, I'm talking about folks that are of substantial
that's
means.
What needs to be changed.
Yeah, without a doubt.
That, and the same thing about when you come here and you make millions of dollars and then you decide you want to shut down and you leave the plants behind, you leave the mines behind, mm-hmm. and people who have one source of economy and leave a brownfield and go over there and hire those folk for 50 cents an hour.
Right.
And we're sitting there wanting $15 an hour just to push the button on the McDonald's. What? Huh? And really, it's not right. We've priced ourselves out of the global market. We can't do it.
Let me throw some demographics at you then. Think about when President Obama came into office. He got 95% of the vote, 96% of the African-American vote. Yeah. African-Americans came out and voted. Great. Mm-hmm. I love that. Then now look at the demographics going forward. Women voters make up most of the
most of the electorate, and that's why.
And I'm looking at the road that's where they're going to. Hillary Clinton has a good chance of being the next president. Then going even farther, 8 years from now, the Hispanic community is growing by leaps and bounds.
Exactly.
We're going to have a Hispanic president.
I don't think it's to me. The president.
Well, we don't want it to be Ted Cruz or
It ain't going
to
be them.
But to me, the president.
The Castro brothers out of Texas would be a good candidate.
They're going to be good. Yeah.
They're going to be good.
Yeah. But if you don't have anyone to vote for, it really makes no difference what color or what gender you are.
Yeah.
If you don't have somebody credible to vote for, it makes no difference. And the key here is Barack Obama is politically savvy. He's run rings around these people.
Yeah,
I mean, run rings around them, and everything they tried to block, from health care to taking down the rebel flag to gay marriage, you name it, he's done it.
Okay, Jack
Rabbit. They can't stop it.
Jack Rabbit agrees with Bill. He agrees with you, Bill. What the hell has Bernie done? She was in Congress.
Thank you, Bernie.
Let me finish some of the comments first. James said we need another major party, but the money of the Dems and the Republicans, along with the PACs, is too much to overcome. Yeah, I agree with that. Henry said, no, we are creatures of habit. We are, and that is so, so unfortunate. And I think that is what is hurting us. And the Republicans and the Democrats both know it. They cater to their constituents until they, you know, get in office, and then heck with the rest. End of story.
Well, let before you go any further with that, who was the middle class? It wasn't majority black folk. So
right.
White folk are being screwed too.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's not just that.
I understand. I agree with you there. I agree with you there.
So we need to say that we got to have folk that we can vote for that can actually do something for us. And it's not just for us. We have two ways of voting. We're going to vote for somebody, and we've got more political savvy than you're giving us credit for, because we'll vote with our feet. You know, whatever y'all say, okay. Because I look at them Republicans and most of them Democrats. I'm going like, after Obama, you can't bar the door.
Yeah, but that's over and done with now.
Yes, it is. I'm talking about what's coming behind them.
Right.
That's
what we need to be mindful of and say, okay, who, I hate to say this, but the lesser of the two evils, unfortunate, you know.
Look at the voter registration laws that they got in effect, because they say, okay, you want to bring out the whole black African-American community. All right, we're going to block half of them because you don't have a driver's license or you can't vote.
And we haven't done anything about that.
You don't have
if we're going to be raising holy hell, that's what we should be doing.
You know, a 97-year-old lady, she's been here for 97 years, and you tell her she can't vote? She's
that's
not an American
citizen. That's our fight.
There you go. That
should be our fight right there. Even if we don't vote, we should have the capacity to vote. And I choose not to.
Well, that's one of their
and
tricks.
You see what's going on.
to block. They're in the blocking game, and that's what they do. And they do it well.
If I don't have anybody to vote.
We need to take, like you said, Bill, take notice of and say, okay, why is this happening? Because that is going to hurt us a great deal.
Well,
you see what's going on in Alabama.
You can't hurt them without hurt us without hurting yourself. You just can't. We're too intertwined.
Yes, that's very true.
You can't hurt us. You can hurt yourself.
If you kicked out every Hispanic and sent them back to their country, America would fall apart.
Because cabbage would be $3.
If you sent everybody back to their country the way they're saying, kick them all out, get rid of
that's
them.
That's not going to happen.
The country will fall apart.
Donald Trump going to go do it. He know he ain't going to get no black folk. We don't even pick cotton out the aspirin bottle. We ain't picking nothing.
A long-time listener said, after watching last night's debate, yes. Well, let me ask you all this, starting with you, Reverend. What, did you watch the debate last night?
Just caught the tail end.
Well, from what you saw, what did you think of it?
Hillary was in charge.
Yes.
Okay.
You knew that I saw she was in charge.
Yes.
She spoke with confidence. She was familiar with the issues. And she really just went out there aggressively.
And nobody on that stage has what she has. I mean, being the first lady of Arkansas. Oh, my.
Are you being sexist?
Me?
Even when she was there. Even when she was evasive, she got cheers. When she just said, I'm not answering the question.
And you have to be. You have to be. Because them folks sitting up there with that gotcha stuff.
Yeah.
But from being the first lady of in Arkansas, the first lady in that, in
the White House,
and senator and secretary of state, nobody has her pedigree. That woman knows. She knows. That's going to be
the
next
president.
And
she knows how to play the game.
Yes.
That I give. And she got.
She's been in it for too long to not know.
And she still got Bill. Trust and believe she do. And she got money. So she going to be all right.
Okay. All right. Well, I got a note here. Over 90% of blacks vote Democrat.
Yes. And you know why? Because Republicans suck.
Okay.
No, I don't know about that.
I know some nice. I know some great Republicans. I know some good men that are Republicans. It's just that I think it comes back to what I was saying earlier: power and greed, and one party wants to put their foot on the other party's neck.
When I
and,
say, let me clear that.
The problem with when we say 90% of blacks or African Americans vote Democrat is that we are taken for granted because they're like, oh, they're not even looking at the Republican Party. And that is a mistake.
Yes, and when you look at the people that are running.
Well, no. It should be we look at people and see.
I've seen
what
they suck.
I take issue with it. Go ahead.
That's where we need to take control on a local level, be a Republican or Democrat. We put you in and we'll take you out. But for some apparent reason.
You know, apparent reason, it's called gerrymandering, brother.
The Democratic Party has created a culture of dependency.
Yes.
A gimme. This is what Bernie said. Education ought to be free. Oh, no. And you're not going to get no free college neither. If you want it, you work for it. I'm not giving you no free nothing. And if you're going to get it for free, it's to help you along the line, and then you get off on your own. But this gimme.
So you all for these high loans, these outrageous bills.
Who's making the money? The colleges are making the money. And you
the college students ain't making the money. They're the ones being saddled with that. What goes on in other Western democratic countries?
I can't speak in it, but this gimme thing and free education, and then you get out there with a degree, and it ain't worth nothing.
Hold that thought.
Bring you the latest in sports, celebrity, and entertainment news. Here's The Sip this week. So just when we thought Matt Barnes had moved on to imaginary relationships with Rihanna, we found out he's still not over his ex, Gloria Gavan. Allegedly, Gloria has been dating newly divorced Derek Fisher. So Matt got word that Fisher was at Gloria's house and drove almost 100 miles to confront him and fight Fisher.
So Charles Barkley weighed in saying brothers shouldn't be fighting brothers. And I get it. They used to be teammates. Team Messy Boots. And Raven Simone is at it again with her comments on The View. This time she says she wouldn't hire someone with a name like Willa Melandria. Dang, I can't even get it out. Basically ethnic names. She said it's not racist, but prejudice, and seemed to find a lot of amusement. So ma'am, that is kitchen table talk that is not meant for mixed company. Speaking of ratings, Empire has dropped in ratings for 3 weeks in a row. I'm still watching though. And Victor Cruz's fiance allegedly sent a text to him and the side chick, basically letting them know about her and offering introductions to one another. So here's the thing. You know what you signed up for to be engaged to that man. She happens to have a cheater, and it doesn't look like that's going to change. I hope it isn't true, but if it is, walk or shut up and deal. Those are your options. There's no running away side chicks in the NFL. I imagine it's like having roaches. They just multiply. I'm just saying. Check out more on my site, thesipwithcoffeeblack.com, and tune in next week on the new musicexchangeradio.com for The Sip with Coffee Black. No sugar, no cream.
Advertise with Tanya Free and Friends. Text the word advertise to 63975. That's 63975. Or give us a call at 844-321-1010. That's 844-321-1010.
The New Orleans Talk Network, now on your mobile device.
On your computer.
In your ear. And interactive. It's new. It's innovative. And it's on your mobile device.
Android.
iPhone. iPad. And on your computer.
Take us wherever you go.
Because we're interactive. 504-341-TALK. That's 504-341-8255.
Check out the Tanya Free and Friends Rewind every Thursday at 6 p.m. Eastern on the May We Help You Radio Network at MWHWRadio.com.
Conversation. Phone lines are open right now. Give Tanya a call at 804-321-1010 in Central Virginia and 844-321-1010 toll free coast to coast. That's toll free 844-321-1010.
You're going to go straight to the phone to our friend Scotty. Hi, Scotty. How are you?
I'm not going to complain too much, Tanya. Well, I'll take that back. I am about to complain.
Okay.
So, y'all bear with me, and this might sound like anti-black, but I am not anti-black. I'm pro-black all the way, all right? But sometimes I tell you, Malcolm X said that black people as a voting bloc are very politically immature, mm-hmm. and I think that holds true today.
Yep, it does.
I think we are some of the most politically immature people on the face of this planet. Just based off of some of the comments that I heard you read, and I don't endorse political candidates. I do vote, but as a matter of policy, personal policy, I don't vote for, I don't endorse politicians because they're all liars on some level. And it's not about what Bernie Sanders has done. Yes, it is to a certain respect of what he has done in the past, but we should also be looking at, well, what has Hillary Clinton done in the past? And Bernie Sanders, just like Hillary Clinton, did support that omnibus bill that the Republicans and the Democrats worked on together, that now we see out there in the street is resulting in all these killer cops brutalizing people. In terms of the mass incarceration legislation, the three strikes and all of that kind of stuff, we know Hillary Clinton was out there stumping for her husband, pushing those policies, zero tolerance in the schools, creating the school-to-prison pipeline. And I have to do some research on Bernie to see if he voted for those same things. But when we're talking about a presidential election, it's not about what you've done. It's what you're going to do.
Right. Right. There you go. There you go. And that's all the point I was trying to make.
But it also, you got to remember, too, you can say what you're going to do, but is it what are they going to let you do? That's the real key.
But that's where we come in.
Right.
That's where we come in. We have to support the legislation. For example, and I'm very angry that it did not get brought up last night, but Bernie Sanders, along with a Hispanic legislator out of Arizona, also Keith Ellison, they introduced the Justice is Not for Sale 2015 Act that would abolish all private prisons and jails. It would regulate the banking service and telephone services that the prisoners and families are forced to use, where they're charged outrageous rates, gouging the families and whatnot, just to stay in touch with your loved one. It would also end the quota system of ICE? Immigration and Custom Enforcement. It would end that quota system. But the biggest thing it do, again, would abolish private prisons and jails. This did not get brought up last
right.
night.
Right.
And some of my abolitionist friends, Max Parthas down there in South Carolina, actually met with Bernie Sanders. All right, some of his, not Bernie Sanders himself, but some of his campaign staff. And he pushed that new abolitionist message that slavery was never abolished. This ain't mass incarceration. This is a continuation of slavery. Mm-hmm. And we want you to push for end of slavery. And then next thing we know, here come this bill to abolish private prisons and jails. And again, we don't endorse Bernie Sanders. We don't endorse no candidates. We endorse legislation. And that's what we are asking for from him. Hillary Clinton, just last week in a meeting with Black Lives Matter, and we had spoken to some of those activists, and we told them when they said, when you meet with Hillary Clinton on Friday, ask her about them private prison lobbyists working
that's
for
traded
her campaign.
On, that's traded on public.
Well, and she could even say, they asked the question last night, whether Black Lives Matter, All Lives Matter, and she did not say one or the other. She talked about what she would do for black people. She did not say Black Lives Matter.
Well, actually, I blame that. I blame that on Anderson Cooper. If you go back and you look at that, mm-hmm. when they played the video of the black guy answering the question, he went to every candidate, and then he changed the question up when he came to Hillary Clinton.
Well, she still should have stepped up to the plate, being that Bernie Sanders said Black Lives Matter. If she's up there debating, I would have thought she wanted to address us and should have said it anyway.
One of the biggest businesses out there is building prisons. It's too much money at stake, young man. They are not going to stop. There's people out there, big interest, the Koch brothers, all these people.
You can say that, brother.
Let me finish. I'm saying that because we can go out here, we can vote for these things to happen and make a change, but there's a big, big opposition to it because they're making billions.
And
let me go even farther back to say, hey, the reason why black people vote immaturely is because we've been pushed down and beat up for so many hundreds of years that, hey, at this point, this is all we can do. This is all we got. This is the only option. Even though I hope Tanya doesn't jump on me like last time and say that's dangerous, but
I got your back, bro.
It's a big, big business building prisons, and they're only building the prisons, and I'll let you take a guess who they building the prisons
for. I'm with you, Scott. We cannot allow it.
And look,
even if it's
a sick business.
Before you go, Scott, one thing you stated at the beginning of what you about how we Malcolm X say how we are politically immature or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yes, we did not have voting rights
exactly
like everybody else. We still
have. What's our excuse now?
Ain't no excuse, because what we have not done is being vigilant as far as educating ourselves of our districts, who represents us, and how and who it is. You stop somebody on the street, they don't know who your council person is, who your state representative is, who your delegate is.
Okay, I'm going to take it a step further. How many people, I bet if I do a poll right now, how many people actually watched the debate last night? How many of our people actually watched the debate last night?
I ain't watching.
Well, I think that's they also point. They had
15 million viewers last night. The Republicans had 24 million.
It's 300 million of us as a country.
Well, my point is still, how many of us watched the debate last night so we know who we're voting for and what they stand for?
The ones that were locked up in Detroit. The ones that were in all those prisons that they're building, they're the ones that they saw it.
That was all
they already know.
Let me say this in closing. Now, we can sit up there and we can say, and it's true to a certain extent, that everything President Obama tried to do, like a jobs bill or something like that, that Republicans have blocked it. But guess who that fall back on? It's black people that consistently do not turn out for midterm elections.
And that's what Bernie
said.
And
that's when the Republicans took it over. Mm-hmm. So we only want to turn out when it is a presidential election. And this and politics is a 24/7 deal. You don't get to take no elections
this
off.
This is what we need
Bernie
to do.
Bernie said that last night.
This is what we need to do. We need to begin to educate ourselves on when it's important. Please get sunshine.
Exactly.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Scotty, tell everybody, listen to your show. Are you still there?
Yes. Tune in to New Abolitionist Radio on blacktalkradionetwork.com at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. I'm one of the co-hosts, and that's all we talk about is 21st century slavery and human trafficking. Thank you.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate it. We'll go to line two right quick. Sunshine, how are you, friend? You there? Sunshine?
I guess I got caught.
I'm fine today.
Oh, good. Did you watch the debate last night?
Not really, because it's just like the same old. I'm not really feeling Hillary Clinton.
I'm with you on that. I'm not either.
I'm not really feeling it. But I just want to make a couple key points about black people voting.
Okay.
First of all, like I said, we need to vote in the midterm election.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Because that's how the big boys get started. Second of all, we need to just stop. Black people need to stop automatic voting Democratic.
You're right.
That don't mean they're a Democrat, they're for us.
Because they're taking us for granted.
Yeah, they think we're going to automatically vote because I vote. I've been voting since I was 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen at the polls where black people mostly vote at polls.
Mm-hmm.
They already have a ballot fill out. And black people just see what they fill out and just check it. And they don't even know what's going on.
Right. Don't know who they're voting for, what that person stands for. Yes.
Check it off because they see a sample ballot. Call
right.
A sample ballot. And you can't do that.
You're right.
And the third key point I want to make about these building of the prison, mm-hmm. they say they building the prison for us. Well, we got to find a way to keep our stuff out of it.
That's a good point. There you go.
That's why I love for you to
there
call
you go.
Yes,
only
sir.
The reason they built these prisons because they saw uprise and us going to prison. And they started to make money off of it. Then they found any little thing to put us in jail because they built these prisons.
That's
so we got to learn how to keep our stuff out of this.
Keep
situation.
Our children out.
There you go.
These records and these DVDs that are being sold, they're using that money for those prisons. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, what
and
I'm
it's
saying,
being traded on publicly traded companies.
We got to learn how to keep our stuff out of
and our children.
That's
yes,
right.
But another thing about building these prisons, you know, big business. They find any little thing to put us in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, you're right.
If you got a past criminal
well,
record.
Look at Sandra Bland. Sandra Bland is a prime example of that.
Yeah.
Let me ask Sunshine a question.
This person did this two, three times. Bam.
Sunshine, did I miss your birthday a couple weeks ago?
It was this week. It was Monday.
Happy birthday. Belated birthday to you. We appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, be good.
Call
man.
Back.
All right, you know I will.
Thank you, friend. We do appreciate that.
All right, thank y'all.
Well, we are truly out of time. As always, I thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing us the
Hallelujah.
Opportunity to speak and hopefully heard. Thanks to our listening friends. Blessings to each and every one of you. And, of course, thanks to Bill, Reverend Woodson, Van, Brian, Antoinette, Coffee Black, Jeremiah, Maya, Lynn, El Bravador, Roosevelt, Marcus, and Mr. Free. I'm Tanya Free. Until next time, be free. And remember to live life with a purpose.
for joining us for this installment of Tanya Free and Friends Talk Radio. Don't forget, the conversation continues 24/7 at tanyafree.com. Keep up with the hottest topics of the day. Post your comments, opinions, and more, all at tanyafree.com. On air, online, and on point. The views and opinions expressed by the guests do not necessarily reflect the views of the host and or this station. Tanya Free and Friends Radio is a production of Freedom Marketing, Inc. All rights reserved.